This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this Palm Sunday. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We are happy you chose to worship with us and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!
Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." To make that statement, what did he have to do? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we have entered into the Holy Week, we follow your Son to the cross. Help us, O God, to understand even better the price that Jesus had to pay, that we could be sure that we are your children forever. In a day, O God, where there is a lot of rationalizing regarding the Christian faith, may we take your word, simple as it is, and by faith lay hold of its truth. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 5th chapter of James, beginning with the 19th verse. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death, and it will cover a multitude of sins. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, what is our purpose in living? Now, that is a question that is often asked. We wonder about it ourselves sometimes. But Jesus had no trouble in answering this question. One day he was in Jericho. He had visited with Zacchaeus. And at the end of that text, Jesus utters these words recorded in Luke 19:10. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his reason for coming. A burden for the lost. Now, this is Palm Sunday, and we have entered into the Holy Week. We witness what Jesus had to do to offer this whole salvation plan to the world. It was a tremendous price that he had to pay. As we turn to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, we get some of the events of Palm Sunday, and then we go on into the Holy Week. It says that on Sunday, Palm Sunday, there was a large crowd that had come out to watch him as he entered into the holy city on a donkey. As he rode along the way, and you recall it well, for it's a story that we have learned in our Sunday schools, the crowd spread their coats, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. They shouted out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It was a warm feeling. There seems to be a triumph for the whole thing. But then the days go by, and Jesus spends his time in and around Jerusalem. And on Good Friday, it all begins. The chorus had changed from Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, rather to a growling shout, crucify him, crucify him. It was a tough day. Judas, the Lord's disciples, had sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He instituted the Lord's Supper, and then they went down into the Garden of Gethsemane and on out into the courtyards. During that time, Peter denied him. He was then led before the Sanhedrin, and he was falsely accused of doing things that he had never had done, and they couldn't really find any satisfaction for their accusation. To appease the mob, a weakling of a governor by the name of Pontius Pilate sentenced him to be crucified. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. The blood went down the side of his face. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was beaten. And then finally, they nailed him to the cross, on which he was hanging for 3 hours. During the course of that time, with that terrible, terrible pain he was going through, he cried out to his Father, Father, don't lay it against them. They don't know what they're doing. And then he died. When he died, you recall that they placed him in a tomb, the tomb of a rich man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And he had one to help him, and that was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of those who came to him at late one night and asked what it was to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, you have to be born again. Well, that was a Nicodemus who had struggled with this whole matter, probably for a period of 3 years, and now he was placing his body in the tomb. But then came Easter Sunday morning, and that's what we will celebrate next week, God willing. When God the Father had accepted the sacrifice for as a full payment for the sins of the world and offered this salvation to all who would accept him as the Savior and the Lord of their lives. So if you trust Jesus Christ, according to what the Bible says, you are saved. You are restored into fellowship with God. And that is right now and on into eternity. It's a free gift, but what a price Jesus Christ had to pay to offer us that free gift. It shows how much he loved us. It's the core of the whole gospel, friend. It's a summary of the Christian faith. What do you Christians believe? Yes, we have a lot of things that we believe, but at the center of it all is that gospel. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. The Bible teaches that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. There is no other way, and no cultural teaching can erase this biblical truth from the heart of a Christian person. When it was all over, and Jesus had been raised and had lived for 40 days, he assembled his own, and just before he was to ascend into heaven, he gave them the great commission to go and tell the world about the gospel, to tell them that there was a chance, that there was a gift that was awaiting them if they would but trust the Savior. And so that message has rung throughout the world, and for 2,000 years, humankind have repented of their sins as the Holy Spirit has worked through that gospel and brought them to faith in Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. And obviously, when Jesus told us to go and tell the story, those early followers started right at home. And at home was Jerusalem. And one of the men who told the story there was the Lord's half-brother, James. We've been studying about James and what he found in his congregation there in Jerusalem for the last number of weeks. And James had preached this gospel, and the Holy Spirit had called the people, and there was a goodly number of those who were Christian Jews in Jerusalem at that time. But as James, the pastor, went through his congregation, he began to notice that some of them were walking away. They were wandering. And so he had another theme to bring to them, and that's our text today. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. In other words, what James is saying is, reach out to the world with the gospel, but don't forget to be with one another. And when we see that there is a weakening of the faith, then we should do all that we can to bring that person back, lest he too fall away from Jesus Christ. Now, it is obvious from that day to this that this has always been a problem in the church, apostasy. Once they believed and then they turned away. That is outgoing today. It is obvious that when we begin to stray away from the truth, as it is recorded in Scripture, the church begins to weaken, and its message is no longer vibrant, and it doesn't bring that peace to our hearts that we need. We run across such questions as this. Well, what is the truth for our day? The truth is that Jesus has suffered and died. He has paid the price for our sins, and if we trust him, he is our Savior, and he is our Lord. And then some may go on to say, but how do we interpret this in a day like ours, where we have acquired so much knowledge, and where there are so many other philosophies that seem to be almost competitive with the Christian faith? What is the right interpretation? Is there another interpretation? And when the church at that particular point begins to buckle, then we have lost the message that God gave us to bring to this world. Culture should have something to say about interpretation, people will say. We learn certain things in the realm of the scientific, and so we interpret the Bible in the light of what culture has taught us along these lines. When we do that, friend, when we do it, especially when it deals with this core of the gospel, we have weakened the message of salvation. And I think that it is a proven fact that today, where those churches have held strong to that gospel truth, there you have found growth, not only numerically in bringing large congregations together, but also growth as far as their spiritual life is concerned, where they know that in Christ there is that assurance of their salvation. When we question the Scriptures, then the biblical teachings weaken and people are not sure what they do believe. When we weaken the teachings of Scripture, the ethical teachings of our society have changed and we have real questions about what is right and what is wrong. You see, where is the authority? Who says, thus saith the Lord? This can affect people of every age. I think of our young people who are staunch in the faith and then they walk away from home. They get into the service or they get to a university or a college and people begin to throw up their questions, and as a result of that, they begin to wonder. What I learned at home, what I learned in my Sunday school, is it really true? That's what James is talking about. And when you see someone walking away, reach out to him. At that point, you are the instrument of the Holy Spirit. At that particular time, God is using you to bring that person back into a living fellowship with Almighty God. But it is not only our young people. It is also those of us who have grown older, and we begin to have some doubts. At that time, we need good care of one another. Pastoral care, to be sure. The pastor faithfully walking among his flock, as James did among his flock in Jerusalem, but also one lay person after another. That's the beauty of small groups. When somebody says, I begin to wonder about this, here we are. In that group, we have an opportunity to help that person at that particular time. For next week, it might be us. Satan is very, very anxious to rip us out of a relationship with God. And so we say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. We minister not only to the world, but we minister to one another with the message of Holy Week, that God in Christ Jesus has died for the sins of the world. It is also a time when we have to be concerned about what's happening within the church. We dare not in the church as a corporate group say we must turn to another message. The same gospel must be proclaimed. And where we find that proclamation, there we find the Holy Spirit at work. As we walk with our Lord through this Holy Week and see what he has done for us, and we see believers in Christ Jesus drifting away, and even whole denominations drifting away, we should take a good look at James. We should take it as serious as he does and simply tell the story in love again. To remain silent for the sake of not being offensive is wrong. And then we need to look into our own hearts. For certainly if there is ever a time that we need to really repent of our sins, it is during that time of Holy Week. As on Thursday we prepare our hearts, or the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts, to come to the table of the Lord, how important it is that we come in repentance and faith. For don't you find, what I find in my life, that at times it all begins to run together, as they used to say. And we say, is it really right? Is this gospel really true? Now that we live in this enlightened age, can we believe it anymore? Good Friday, my friend, is as important in 2005 as it was on the first Good Friday. For when we have seen him, the crucified one, then next week we will see him as the risen one, the victor over sin, death, and the devil. All of this because he had a burden for the lost. That's you and me, until we're saved in him. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, as Christians find their way to the churches in this Holy Week, we pray that your Holy Spirit may be at work, and that through the Word of God and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, they may be drawn closer to you. For those, O God, who have no relationship with you, who do not understand what the church is really all about, grant that they may come seeking. And seeking you, O God, we pray that the Holy Spirit may meet them and assure them that God in Jesus Christ loves them too. May the message be strong, and may it reach into that heart and bring a peace which only you can bring. We pray this day for those who are sick. May they find their comfort in knowing that you will surround them. And for those who are dying, that they may know the message of Easter is their salvation. Christ has been raised, and death has been destroyed. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to reflect on the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ this coming week, let us pray to both follow his example in patience and share in his resurrection. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. As listeners of this ministry, we invite you to share the light of the gospel on Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor, so that no one may walk in darkness. Christian Crusaders is available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.